Beautiful day, beautiful singing. What a great honor and privilege it is to be here this morning before our God. And we're so very thankful to Him. We're so very grateful that He's allowed us this opportunity to gather as His people to worship Him. We are, again, thankful for our visitors. We're really, truly grateful that you're here. It encourages us that you made that decision to be here among us, and I pray that we are an encouragement to you. And if you have any questions about anything, please don't hesitate to ask. We'd love to sit down and show you what we believe and why we believe it from the Word of God. Now, this morning, of course, we are looking at part two to our lesson from last Sunday. And in our lesson from last Sunday, we basically looked at Revelation chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. And so this morning what we're going to do, that's the evening one, we're going to look at verses 4 and 5. And so I want to begin with this thought right here, and that is, you know, we can't hide anything from God, right? Hebrews 4 and verse 13, we can't hide anything from God. Right? All things are open or bare to Him who sees all, to the one that we must give an account. Right? So we can't hide anything from God. Jesus knows. Now, I can fool you, and you can fool me. Right? I can make you think that everything's going right in my life. Everything's going right in my faith. I tell you what, I can show up at church three times a week. I can fool you. But Jesus knows. And so, what I want us to think about is 2 Thessalonians 13, verse 5. We're commanded to test ourselves. You know, examine yourself, test yourself to see if Jesus is even in you. And so we're being asked again and again throughout Scripture to take that personal inventory, right? And now listen, we can deceive ourselves. Hebrews 3 and verse 13, right? The deceitfulness of sin, we can deceive ourselves, right? By just going through the motions, you know, in a spiritual rut, and, you know, and I don't do any real self-searching. We can deceive ourselves. Now, in this lesson that we're looking at this morning, understand this. Revelation was written to Christians, for Christians, about Christians. And so if there's anyone here this morning, listen, if you have not obeyed the gospel, if you haven't done what John says the Christians did in Revelation 1 and verse 5, right, have your sins washed away, or in Revelation 7 and verse 14, you weren't washed in the blood of the Lamb. Listen, I don't want you to tune out. Yes, this was written to Christians, but I want you to understand this, and here's what I want you to pay attention to. It's not easy, right? And what I want you to do, and hopefully you're thinking about obeying the gospel, I want you to think about counting the cost. Because I've seen a lot of people say, yeah, I want to be washed in the blood of the Lamb, I want to obey the gospel, and they didn't count the cost, and before long they're gone. Where'd they go? Well, they didn't count the cost, because it's not easy. And so I want you to see here, if you're not a Christian, that you had some very faithful brethren here, that something went wrong. And they were in danger. And of course, for those who are Christians, right, we need to pay attention. We need to do some proper self-exam. Now, I want you to think here for just a moment, but we're going to get into the text here in just a second. Jesus says, I want your heart. Right? First greatest commandment, Matthew 22:37. We're to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Jesus wants your heart. He wants us to do what we do for the right reason. Right, he wants to be our main focus. He wants our heart. Now, there are times when we do a self-exam, You know, well, how do I do that self-exam? Right. What is it that I need to do to help me see where I'm at? Because, you know, if I'm not where I'm at, I'll make the change that I need to make, right? And so here's just a little test real quick before we get into the text, right? So when we read our text, in verse 4, that's the problem with the church there at Ephesus, which can be our problem. They left their first love. And we're going to get into the text in verse 5, the answer. Verse 4 is a problem. Verse 5 is the answer. But I need to see, I need to determine if I've left my first love. So here's a quick test for us. Right? We're going to be honest before God right now. We're going to answer these questions. We're going to use the acronym first. F is focus. Paul writes in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 9, after he lists what we might call the Christian grace, it's like he said, if you don't have these things, you know, you're short-sighted. You know, sometimes we get myopic in our spiritual vision. Right? So I want you to think, number one, what is your focus? When you wake up in the morning, the middle of the day, the end of the day, what is your focus? Who is your focus? If your focus isn't Jesus, listen, you may have left your first love. If your main focus is your job, you may have left your first love. Now, listen, we got to work, we got to earn a living, but listen, your job is not your focus. Jesus is. Now, let me tell you, you'll do your job a whole lot better if your focus is Jesus, and you're going to glorify him in the job you do and the work that you do. But your job is not your focus. The I is income, right? And yes, matters of faith are tied to matters of the pocketbook. You don't believe me? Go read Jesus. Listen, our God is not a beggar begging for our spare change. Right? And sometimes I think we treat him as a beggar. I'll just give you, you know, whatever's left over in my pocket. Right? Take a look at your finances. It might tell you if you've left your first love. What about relationships? Right, that great resurrection chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I always say the first half is about the resurrection of Christ-ish. And the second half is about our resurrection if we get in his resurrection. Then right there in the middle of that great resurrection passage is, you know, be careful who your friends are, basically, right? Evil company corrupts good morals, good habits. In other words, when I read that, my understanding is be careful about your relationships, who you allow in your life, because they may steal away the meaning of the resurrection in your life. Right? Are most of your friends not Christians? Be careful. Be careful. They might steal away the meaning of the resurrection in your life and leave your first love. S, service. Right? Romans 12, 1 and 2, we're to offer our bodies as living sacrifices. Right, present our bodies as a living and holy sacrifice to prove what is a good and acceptable will of God. Right? What does that look like in your life? Listen, offering forgiveness is a spiritual sacrifice. Getting busy with the Lord's work, I tell you what, that's a spiritual sacrifice. Being together when the church gathers, that's a spiritual sacrifice. When you'd rather be doing X, Y, and Z. But you're like, no, the Lord's church is more important to me. So if that isn't where it ought to be, maybe you've left your first love. What about time? About redeeming your God-given time? There in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 16, right? And he says there, because the days are evil. What gets most of your time? Listen, if you put it on a scale and over here is hobbies and Netflix and Facebook, and over here is prayer, and study of God's word, and fellowship with God's people, and it's like this, right? To ask it is an answer. What does that look like in your life? And if that gets all of your time, maybe you've left your first love. All right, so verse 4 is the problem. Verse 5 is the answer. So look at it with me here again. Number one, he says, remember. God always tells us how to fix our problems. Never tells us what to do without telling us how to do it, right? And so maybe what the problem is, you forgot some things concerning your faith. Maybe you need to remember. So first of all, first thing he says, if you have left your first love, and I would add that, if you're about to, number one, you need to remember. What do you need to remember? Well, there's a lot of things you can remember. Psalm 105, verses 1 through 5. Let me read this to you. And I want you to think about this passage, Psalm 105, verses 1 through 5. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people, sing to him, sing psalms to him, talk of his wondrous works, glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those rejoice who seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength, seek his face evermore, and remember his marvelous works which he has done, his wondrous works and the judgments of his mouth. You know, maybe we need to remember who our God is. Remember that he's the all-powerful creator. Remember, there's actual evidence for that, if we're willing to look. Remember, and you're going to see it on the screen, maybe this is what I need to remember. Maybe I need to remember my salvation. You remember that day when you obeyed the gospel? Do you remember that? Maybe some of you here, right? You might have obeyed the gospel here in this baptistry. You know, maybe it was on a farm in a feeding trough, you know, water trough. Maybe it was in a lake or a stream. Do you remember that day? Remember that day you said, you know, I love you, God, with all my heart. I love you, Jesus. I believe in who you are, and I need my sins washed away. I'm not ashamed. You remember that day? And before you obeyed the gospel, you had that heaviness of the guilt of your sin. But when you came up out of the water graves of baptism, you know, you had that freedom. I get a clean start. I get to start all over. Wow. Remember the joy of that day? Maybe your family was there, and if whoever baptized you was like me, I'll always give you a big, big bear hug because I'm so happy that you made that decision. Maybe that's what you need to remember. Right, if you've left your first love, maybe that's what you need to start meditating on. You need to remember these things. Remember what was accomplished for you on the cross. What is it that you need to remember? Because we're a forgetful people, aren't we? 2 Peter chapter 3, if you would. Let's read a few verses here and we'll move on to our next point. You know, the fact of the matter is we are a very forgetful people. Matter of fact, that's why Lord wants us to take communion every first day of the week, right? Because we're forgetful. Right? He wants us to remember his body, remember his blood, remember his death until he comes. You know, maybe that's what you need to remember. But we're forgetful people here, and I appreciate what Peter writes. You read just a little bit with me. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Beloved, I now write to you this second epistle, in both of which I stir up your pure minds by way of a reminder, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandments of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Right? Open up your Bibles, is what he's saying. Of course, the Old Testament was complete. The New Testament was still being written and copied and disseminated, right? So they were going by the apostles' words. But in other words, remember what God is telling you through Scripture. Maybe that's what you forgot. Verses 8 and 9, but beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as a thousand years is one day. Maybe what you need to remember, when Jesus died on the cross, he's still feeling that pain right now as he's dying for you, right? So time doesn't matter to God. We kind of think of our mind that was some ancient event 2,000 years ago, but if time doesn't matter to God, Jesus just had those nails driven in his hands and his feet for you. Maybe that's what you need to remember. Maybe you need to remember verse 9 here, that the Lord is long-suffering. He doesn't want you to perish. Let's read beginning of verse 10 now. Maybe I need to remember this, that Jesus is coming, judgment day is real, and I better be ready. Maybe this is what I need to remember. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all of these things will be dissolved, What manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and goodness or godliness? Looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for the new heavens and the new earth in which righteousness dwells, right? Maybe that's what you need to remember. So do you remember that day you defeated Satan? Remember that day you gained your first love? Maybe you need to remember that Jesus is coming back and judgment's real. Whatever it is, maybe it's all of the above, you need to remember. That's the first thing if you've left your first love. Secondly, there in Revelation 2 and verse 5, he says repent. Now, that word in the Greek, in the language of the New Testament, metanoeo, it literally means to change the way you think. It's to change your mind, to change the path you're on. Right? That's what repentance means. And listen, it's not a one-time thing when you obey the gospel. It is a daily life of a Christian. Right? To change the way I think, to think more like Jesus. Right? And when we do that, by the way, to kind of keep with some of the things we've been talking about in the last lessons, you know, then when we come to quote-unquote difficult passages that our culture doesn't agree with, it's not going to be an issue for us. Right? Because now I'm thinking more like Jesus, and I'm not going to struggle with those difficult teachings. In 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. And I want you to think about this. Here's a good illustration I heard once. The blood of Jesus, the grace of Jesus, is a windshield wiper. And the rain is sin. Now, sometimes we need that cranked up all the way, full speed. Other times it's on the lowest setting, right, where it goes once every 10 or 15 seconds. Listen, and you might think, no, preacher, I don't need that. I'm good. I'm pretty good. Listen, I want you to read verse 8 and verse 10 in the same chapter. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. Verse 10, we're making God a liar. You need the windshield wiper. Everybody does. We cannot make it on our own. It's impossible. And if you think you can make it on your own, you've missed the whole point of Christianity and the need for Christ to die on the cross for your sins. Listen, you are not that good. None of us are. We need to remember what we have access to, and I think that will motivate us to that continuous repentance. Right? In chapter 2, verse 1, same books, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. So he wants to help us. And he's there, if you will, at the finish line, right? Our Christian race is described as, our Christian faith is described as a race, Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. And if you will, you know, Jesus is there at the finishing line, you know, urging us to finish. Right? Encouraging us to finish. He wants us to finish. In chapter 5 of 1 John, he talks about victory in verse 4. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Right? So repentance is about change, continuous change. Now here's the thing, we don't like change, do we? We just don't like it. Human nature, I think. You know, we come to church at the same time. We park in the same spot. We walk in and we sit in the exact same spot. We talk to the same people. Right? And when services are over, right, we do the same thing. We got to hurry up and beat the denominations over there to the restaurant before it gets too busy. Have you ever come in and someone's sitting in your spot? You got to have that moment of, whoa, what do I do? We don't like change, is the point. But maybe that's what you need to do. You need to take drastic change because you've left your first love. Drastic change. But it's a battle because we don't like change. You know, we need to admit where we are, where we're at, that we need help, that we're not righteous. You know, and so we need to admit. and then repent. Admit and then change if we've left our first love. All right, number three, this morning. Now, in New King James, and I was looking earlier in ESV, it says do. So bear with me. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent. And King James, New King James, says do the first works. Now, we're going to change that to redo. Now, why can I do that? Well, it's a very interesting word in the Greek, in the original language. It's a very complex word in the original language. As a matter of fact, this very same word is used over here in Hebrews in chapter 8 and verse 9. Same exact Greek word, but it's rendered different in English. Let me read this to you. See if you can pick it out. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in that day I made with their fathers in the day I took them by the hand and led them out of the land of Egypt, right? But there it's rendered, I made. And if you read the context there, this is about constructing. It's about building. And of course there he constructed a covenant. So I think we can change do to redo, because it's not used there in Revelation 2:5 in the sense of something I do just to do, but it's rather the idea of rebuilding, reconstructing, remaking. You know, when you can't get your computer to work right, what do? Well, you reboot the system. Right? When you're on a website and it's not loading, what do? Well, you refresh the page. Right? So it's that same idea. Sometimes I need to reboot, to refresh, to reconstruct, you know, my spiritual situation. I need to remember some things. I need to repent, change the way I think, and I got to redo some things. I absolutely need to redo some things sometimes. And, like we mentioned a moment ago, in 2 Peter 3 and verse 9, I didn't read the whole verse because I wanted to read it now. The Lord's not slow concerning his promises, some count slowness, but he's long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to him in repentance. Listen, in my illustration a moment ago, you know, this race that we're in, this Christian race, you know, it's you have Jesus there at the finish line, if you will, begging us to finish. You know, God bless those folks that can sprint in that race. Right? Some brethren, they're just able to run that race. You know, they're just sprinting. Others can walk and jog. You know, some of us are crawling, right? And we've fallen down again and again and again and again. But listen, what matters is you're moving in the right direction. That you haven't given up. That you're doing your best within the will of God in the right direction to get to that finish line. That's the standard for the grace of God, that continuous windshield wiper of the blood of Christ, if you will. We serve a God of second chances, right? And you look at anyone that's faithful in the Bible that I can think of, right? They all needed second chances. David, if you're taking notes, write down Psalm 51. Think about what David did. And then he's called a man after God's own heart. Why? Well, because he had a humble heart of repentance. You know, Peter denied the Lord three times. Paul, he persecuted the church of Christians. Right? They got a redo. So do you. You get a redo. And I don't care if it's your 10,000th time. If you come to God with a true, humble, repentant heart, he'll let you start over. He doesn't want any to perish, but all to come to him in repentance. Listen, every day that you're alive and Jesus hasn't returned is a display of his patience, of his great love for you. All right, number four, if you look in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 5, you see the word remove. Let's read the whole verse together. Well, no, let's read 4 and 5, right? So we get the problem and the answer. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you've left your first love. Now, we were honest in that examination, weren't we? Right? And if I've left my first love, here's the answer. Remember, right? There's some things you need to remember you probably forgot. Therefore, from where you have fallen, that takes recognition. Number two, repent and redo the first works. Now, here's the thing. You know, this church at Ephesus, we talked about this last week. If you go back to Acts chapter 19, where we're introduced, you remember that? Right? And their fruits of repentance, they burned 50,000 books worth of witchcraft, or 50,000 pieces of silver worth of witchcraft books, right? Which would be millions today. And if, remember that scenario, Bada? If you were able to go to them and ask them, you know, why did you do that? And say, well, because we love Jesus, obviously. Right? Why are you doing these things that you're doing? The answer would have been every time, because I love Jesus. But then a couple decades later, what we're seeing here in Revelation 2, something's changed. Now, the actions of Christianity hadn't changed. They're still, you know, doing their deeds and their works with perseverance. They're fighting false doctrine. So on the outside, it looked great. But then the answer to the question of why are you doing this, it seems to have changed. You know, it was no longer because we love Jesus. It seemed to maybe be because this is what we've always done. This is what my parents and grandparents did, right? It was no longer because they love Jesus. So remember, repent, redo the first works, or else I'll come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. Now, I want you to think about this word remove in a couple different ways. Yes, he's talking to an actual congregation, real people, Church of Christ at Ephesus, the blessing presence of God among them in that lampstand or candlestick. You know, he's going to remove it from them. So he's talking to them collectively, but listen, this applies to us individually also. When you obey the gospel, Acts 2:38, you're given the Holy Spirit, right? Your sins are removed. You're given the gift of the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 1:13, right? You receive the seal of the Holy Spirit, a promise. Right? God can remove that and will remove that when we remove ourselves from him, Isaiah 59:1-2, our sin, our transgressions, our iniquity, we make a separation from God. We remove ourselves from him, and then he removes his blessing presence from us individually or collectively, unless we remove what needs to be removed. Right? Like Hebrews 12:1, those obstacles, those things that so easily ensnare us. Right, and then in verse 2 in that chapter of Hebrews 12, we take our eyes off of Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. You want to talk about focus again, there it is. So we need to remove what needs to be removed. I want to read one more passage to you. And the lesson is yours. Romans 5th chapter. Let's read this together, and then we're going to offer the Lord's invitation. But what I want to do is, you know, when I read this, I make an application to me, right? And so I'm going to put in personal pronouns here. And when we read this together, I want you to read it to yourself. And I think sometimes when we're studying Scripture, we read something, we kind of generalize it. And yeah, that's okay sometimes, and it is in a general sense. But I think sometimes to make a better impact upon us, especially if we've left our first love, is to personalize it. And so I'm going to do that, and I'm going to allow you to listen in to me read that out loud to myself. And I would encourage you to do the same thing here. And listen, it makes all the difference, my understanding of this passage, if I've left my first love. Or if I haven't left my first love, let me tell you, it's going to motivate me to stay strong and to help me be an overcomer. So I'm going to read this out loud to myself if you want to follow along. Romans chapter 5, beginning verse 6, "For when I was still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly." That's me, Sean. "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrated his own love toward me. And while that I was still a sinner, Christ died for me. Much more than having now been justified by his blood, I shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when I was an enemy, I was reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more having been reconciled, I shall be saved by his life. And not only that, but I also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom I have now received reconciliation. This morning, if there's anyone here that hasn't obeyed the gospel, listen, the gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, 7 through 9, we're told when Jesus comes back with his mighty angels in flaming fire, he's going to take vengeance on those who know not God and have not obeyed the gospel. You can know God, love God, you know, proclaim God from the rooftop. If you have not obeyed the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, there's consequences. If you want to study that more, I'd love to sit down. Let's open up the Word of God and let you see what that entails. But in short, it's loving God, believe in Jesus, John 8, 24, repenting of your sins, right? We talked about that. Acts 2, 38, confessing Christ, I'm not ashamed, Romans 10, 9 and 10, and reenacting his death, burial, and resurrection in water, immersion, that's called baptism, Romans 6, 3 and 4. If you haven't done that, you can gain your first love, but you need to count the cost. If you're here this morning and you recognize I've lost my first love and it's something you want to bring before the church, you know, let's pray for you. Let's pray with you, pray for it. Whatever it is you need, we want to show you the love of God, the love of this church. If we can help in any way, let somebody know as we stand, as we sing.